I want to bring up another issue, and because this has been in the news as well, and that is priests who father children. Just this week, the New York Times reported that the Vatican has confirmed that it has secret guidelines to deal with priests who become fathers. And we spoke earlier today with a man who, after decades of detective work and a grave exhumation and DNA testing, found out that his father is the late Father Thomas Sullivan, a priest from Lowell. Jim Graham now lives in South Carolina, and when we spoke with him earlier, he told us this incredible story that started with family members hinting at who his biological father was, and then he and his wife followed clues to a church in Lowell where he says he found a priest who knew his father.
He invited us to a room down the hall. He sat behind a big ornate desk. My wife and I sat on each side of the desk. He pointed at my wife. He said, "Are you an attorney?" She said, "No." He pointed at me. He said, "Are you an attorney?" And I said, "No." So I said to him, "Then you know." He said, "Yeah, I know." I said, "Well, how do you know?" He said, "You look just like him."
Mm. Oh, my gosh. Then you tracked down a nun who actually had a journal of your father's where she said he had acknowledged that you existed. And she wrote to you, "Sister Mary," she writes, "Ever since Saturday, all I can see is your beautiful, smiling face when I open the door. You have no idea how you affected me. You are the very image of your father. As I told you, I was in the hospital when he died. I never really grieved until I saw you." That must have been an unbelievably emotional time to meet Sister Mary, as you call her, so you don't reveal her identity, but also she was really the person who knew your father and confirmed his identity to you and told you you were on the right trail.
Exactly. She was the first person, or the only person, to ever say, "Your father." Everybody else referred to my father as Father Thomas Sullivan, but not your father. So that luncheon that my wife and I had with Sister Mary was very emotional, probably the most extraordinary meeting I had in my 25-year search for the truth.
How did you prove then that, Thomas Sullivan was your father?
So the next step I took was to write to the order in Washington, to a Father Studert, who is the provincial of the Oblates. And he said, "You may think you're Father Sullivan's son, but you can't prove it." But I said, "I can't prove I'm Father Sullivan's son if I can exhume his body and take samples for a DNA test." And 2 weeks later, I get a letter back saying that I could. I was totally surprised, and I just still believe that they probably never thought I would take the steps to do it, because it was difficult, it was expensive, and it was very emotional. Dr. Anne Marie Myers from Massachusetts did the exhumation, and we got the results back, and I told that Dr. Myers, "Don't tell me on the phone, I want you to tell me in person." So I drove up to Paxton, Massachusetts, and she told me the results, that I was 99.999%. Positive that I was Father Sullivan's son.
And how did you feel then?
You know, I knew from the day I saw the obituary photograph of my father's face, and I had his eyes, I had his nose, I had his mouth, I had his chin, so I knew what the results would be, but still, it was very emotional.
Do you know what Father Sullivan's relationship was with your mother?
It was a long relationship. It started, you know, back in 1945, and my mother left Buffalo with me as a toddler. My father left the order at the same time, and we escaped from Buffalo. And the church was insistent that he would come back to the order, and he wouldn't be out here as a loose cannon with a parishioner's wife and a baby. So private detectives were hired, and they found us after about 8 months, and they took him back into the Oblate Order, put him in a camp up in Essex, New York, for rehabilitation. And they took me from my mother's custody and put me in the home of John Graham, her former husband, to make it look like I was his son.
And so where did your mother go?
My mother stayed in New York and eventually married a New York City cop. She didn't have visiting rights initially to see us, but she would see us, you know, periodically, just a few days out of the year. Eventually, she got visiting rights in 1954.
And if a priest had a relationship with a parishioner that resulted in the birth of a child, they could literally come and take the priest back and remove the child from the mother?
That's what they did. And I have all the documents that prove that.
And now, we have a report in the New York Times this week that the Vatican has guidelines for dealing with priests who father children. What do you make of that?
Well, the article said they have secret guidelines, if you noticed. So they've been working on these for, I think, 10 or 15 years. And the guidelines that they have, it appears that they're not very rigid. They're kind of a priest can leave the order if he wants to and, take care of his child financially and, emotionally. But he doesn't have to. So I don't think there's enough teeth in those guidelines to really have much of an effect.
What do you think should be done?
Well, first of all, it should be transparency. You look in my case, this is 7 decades, and I still don't have transparency from the church because even after I got the results, I never heard from them. All along, they knew who I was, and I knew that they knew that. But yet they put me through this very difficult situation to exhume my father's body to prove it, and they knew all along. So you look at the other children of priests, and we all have unique situations. They're all different. But still, I think the Catholic Church is good at cover-ups. They're good at stonewalling. And the last thing they want to do is admit a fault that they made years ago.
So when you hear about this meeting that's happening today, this Vatican summit, are you optimistic that there will be something done about the priesthood to try to hold people more accountable for the activities of the sexual activities of priests?
I think it's an overwhelming situation, and I don't know how the Catholic Church can just make a quick turn and correct it. It's almost like they need a CEO to come in there and to do what has to be done, and not just transfer priests to other parishes and forget about it, and don't tell the truth about what happened in the original parish, but to really eliminate those people. It's a big task, and I just don't know how they're going to do it. I'm less sanguine than other people about the outcome.
That is really incredible. It's an incredible story, and I'm glad you were able to piece it all together. It sounds like it took an enormous amount of persistence and some really good luck, too.
It did.
So thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure.